This week we're going to turn church round. As everybody's at that end, I'm going to go and start at that end. Is that all right with everybody? A bus. Morning. Let's stand. Let's start to worship God. Thank you, Graham. Find someone you haven't spoken to and say, this is the year of Jubilee, let me pray a blessing on you. Go on, you've got 2 minutes. Go and pray for someone. And just say, this is a new year, get ready to receive what God has for you. It means you've got to move, you can't all stand there and wait. Come on. There we go. Karamashiki Ananda. You've got the toys out for him, haven't you?
Yeah, he's got the Lego.
There's another box in there as well. Yeah. You know, this morning I was a bit late, and I was sitting around drinking tea in my slippers, and I thought, I've got to wash some of these cups up. And then, do you remember last week I told you about that man that could throw a stick Well, I threw a ball for my dog. He looked great in a dinner jacket. And then I had to sack the janitor for smoking cannabis. I don't like high maintenance people. And then someone said to me, because of that, we're going to have to start doing random drug testing. I said, that's okay, but I don't want to test the heroin. Behave. Do you see the joke of the week, by the way? A lady goes to a friend and says, please help me. I need a date for Valentine's Day. They said, why don't you try the 14th of February? They're getting better, aren't they, Maggie? Right. Focus, Peter. Warm hub this week. Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Do pray for us. If you can't be here, do try and come in. We never know quite what's going to happen from 1 minute. Is that better? Oh dear, I'll turn it off again. So do pray for us. We are going to make one or two changes to the warm hub in the next couple of weeks to make it even more exciting. Can you cope with this level of excitement? No. So do pray for that. A prayer meeting tomorrow afternoon between 2 and 4. It's interesting that the more we pray, the more we get conversation to talk about Jesus on the Friday. And you think, there's a connection here. The more we're praying and seeking God's face, the more God is opening doors. So do pray, and do pray about Friday. We had a beautiful moment this week. Albert is a man in a wheelchair, and his poor wife pushes him all the way down from the top of the hill in his wheelchair, gets the food, stacks it on top, and pushes him all the way back. That's quite hard, isn't it? When they first came, they'd say hello. But now we've got to the stage where she comes and we bring Albert in here at 10 o'clock. And they're still here at 12 o'clock. And it was his birthday, so Chris made him a birthday cake this week. And some of the people gave him cards. And he said, they're the only cards I've had. Isn't that exciting? It's a little bit of really. It's exciting. Now, by the way, if any of you are available, not this Thursday, next Thursday, I need somebody to sit with Rosita. Gordon is one of the people that comes to Food Bank. His wife's had a stroke. She comes in here Thursday mornings. He's got his operation on his tooth Thursday morning at 11:30. So, obviously that's not the day that she's at the daycare place. So we need somebody or a couple of ladies just to sit with Rosita, have a bit of fun, so that we can take Gordon to get his operation done. So if any of you are able to do that, please let me know. That'd be really helpful. That's a week Thursday. Life group Wednesday is here at 7 o'clock, or Thursday afternoon at Jeff and Maggie's. It's good to throw around some ideas from what we talk about and see what God has to say. The breakfast for Sierra Leone, the final total was £165. And not including the breakfast, last week I sent over £600 to Sierra Leone from here. Isn't that brilliant? Well, I'm excited. World Day of Prayer is on Friday, the 3rd of March. There is a poster also at the back. So if you want to join in the World Day of Prayer, 2 o'clock at the Church of the Good Shepherd. Details are there. Happy birthday to Roxanne. Everyone turn and wave at Roxanne just to make her feel really embarrassed. Good, thank you. And the healing course will start the first Saturday of March, which is the 4th. Anybody who hasn't been on the healing course, I would really recommend most strongly that you go on to it. It's so often as Christians we carry things that get in the way of what God wants to do, And sometimes we need just to take time to allow God to get rid of some of the stuff that's in the way. I've used the example I've told you before. We had a lady in our church, a minister's wife, and none of the ladies liked her. They didn't get on with her. There was something wrong. And as we took her through the healing course, it came out that she'd had an abortion. And all her life she was terrified that women would find out and judge her. So she put up a barrier that stopped her from being able to talk to other ladies. As we took her through some healing, Jesus healed her of the fear of it coming out. Doesn't mean we go telling everybody, but we healed her of the fear. And within 6 weeks, the ladies in the church were saying, "What have you done to her? She's different. We like her." And that's what the healing course is about. It's about dealing with stuff that we should have dealt with so that we can be more effective in our ministry for God. All right? Saturday the 4th. You must let me know if you're coming. It's 5 to 11. Thanks for asking. I'd like to start at 10 o'clock. All right? So if you haven't, let me know. If you haven't been on it, I really would encourage you, because we'd like to be able to say that our church has the baseline where we're all at, and then we can move forward as a church. So that starts on the 4th. All right? If you've got a Bible... Oh, by the way, for those who have done the course before, we are going to need some prayers. So if you're able to be free, please let me know as well. All right? Thanks. If you've got a Bible... That's very good. We should all have one. I want to read from Acts chapter 2. That's in the New Testament, John. Acts 2. Sorry. I'm looking at the two boys at the back, and the little one is trying to join in with Travis's game. He's trying any way he can to get round him. It's so cute. Sorry. All right. Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them, saying, "They have had too much wine." Thanks, Graham.
You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation.
Wake up. All of you. Wake. Come.
What are we doing?
We're praying.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done.
Now we can leave this place. Now spread his word.
Master!
Look at us. We have no money. No silver, no gold. But what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Through Jesus, that this man walks again. God sent us his servant, Jesus, and God raised him again from death. We are his witnesses, and the Holy Spirit is with us and makes us strong.
Jesus is alive.
See, the thing that they had longed for years, had come. The prophet Joel had said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Men and women, boys and girls, servants, slaves, everybody. And Acts chapter 2 is when the Holy Spirit is released onto individual people. That's exciting, isn't it? Because you have here these group of men and women who are terrified. You see, they were associated with Jesus, so they would be judged. Jesus was condemned for blasphemy, but also for trying to lead an uprising. Well, you don't leave everybody else behind, you take the whole group. And so they're hiding in a room in terror. And then the wind starts to blow. And it wasn't because they'd had too many baked beans or something. This is a different type of wind. I just want to correct that before anyone gets carried away. The Holy Spirit wind begins to blow. And this wasn't a little breeze.
Little.
It says it was a violent wind. Papers would fly around the room. Stuff would start to shake. And we sit here and we go, hey, yes, that's rather marvellous. Hang on. Can you imagine the terror? If you've never seen it, never heard it, and suddenly... That was a good impression, wasn't it? I'm not going to do it again because my teeth will fall out. This violent wind. And with the wind comes noise. And there's whistling and howling and this is all going on. And then Peter stands up and says, we don't do this sort of thing. We're Christians. Just stop. But you see, it's like when you go to church, isn't it? And people say, you've got to be quiet. You're in church. And as the little boy said, why? He's got to sleep. See, I find that whenever God moves, it's noisy. It's not quiet. Anyone else notice that? In fact, I read that in heaven, it never stops, night and day. Only one moment in all of history will the noise stop, and that's when Jesus opens the scroll. But apart from that, there's always noise going on. Yeah, but we're not used to this. We don't know what's going to happen, Lord. This is wind. And Jesus says, trust me. Yeah, but Lord, can't I trust you from the things I know? Because that's easier, isn't it? I can trust you for the things that are safe. No. Trust me. And the wind is blowing. And everything's shaking. And then, the fire comes. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty stupid. But if I see Wendy's hat is on fire, I'm not going to say that's God. I'm going to throw a bucket of water over her. In fact, I might throw a bucket of water over her without the fire, just for the fun of it. That's by the by. But be honest, if you see fire going around the room, what are you going to think? Are you immediately going to say, oh, this is God? No. And then you see it's not actually burning. It's touching people. But they're not burning. Just like the burning bush in the Old Testament, do you remember? Moses went to have a look because although it was on fire, it wasn't burning. And this fire begins to touch people. And they begin to speak in different tongues, different languages. And someone sits in the corner and says, we've never done this before. This isn't right. Everyone is splattered with the Holy Spirit. And immediately the Holy Spirit comes, things go wrong. Things go different. Things get out of order. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't work by our agenda. Has anyone ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed when you ask the Holy Spirit to do something nice and quietly and discreetly, he does it in the most public way possible? Anyone ever had that? Yeah? You know, Holy Spirit, fill me when I'm in my bed alone and quiet. My granddad went to church and he wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit and they prayed for him and nothing happened. And his wife wasn't really a Christian, my grandmother at that time. And in the middle of the night, she hit him to wake him up. And he said, what's the matter? She said, what's the matter with you? You're shouting in this strange language. What do you think you're playing at? And he went, oh, okay, thanks, Father. But you see, we like to keep everything under control, don't we? Yeah? If I came round to most of your houses, you'll have everything in the same place where it always is. Isn't that right? Can you imagine if I came to all of your houses while you're asleep and I moved everything? You know, the kettle's in the bathroom. The tea bags are in the drawers. You know, you'd be going, what's... I like everything just so... Anyone relating to this? I like everything where it is. You know, you wake up in the night, you know where the switch is for the light, you know where your watch is. You have everything laid out, don't you? In the morning, you've had your shower, and you know where your underwear is and your clothes are, because everything's in the same place, done in the same way. Anyone? Yeah? In fact, there was a survey done, and it was an enormous amount of people who always put the same sock on first. And it's starting to really smell. No. Sensible. They always, if you put your right foot in the sock first, they always do the right sock first. Or if they do the left foot first, they always do the left foot first. And they put the same shoe on, whichever side it is first. We get used to doing same old, same old, same old. Yeah? And then the Holy Spirit comes and he says, I'm going to destroy all of that. And we go, just a little bit, a little bit. And he doesn't come and give a little bit. He comes and goes, and you go, oh, slump. And people get worried because sometimes people fall over. Because they're just overwhelmed by the love of God. Sometimes people fall over because God's trying to get their attention. And it's almost spiritually, God is saying, will you listen? Bang! Now I've got your attention. Sometimes God gets people to fall over because they realize how holy and mighty a God he is. And they just have to be in his presence. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead and he appeared at the tomb, Matthew 28, it says that the soldiers were like dead men. And one of the characteristics of dead people is they don't stand up. Anyone notice that? You know, you don't go into a morgue and there's everybody standing around. They fall over. When God, the glory of the Lord, filled the tabernacle, the elders couldn't get into the building. They fell on their faces outside. Because the presence of God was so wow. When they built the temple, same thing happens. But here's a little question. Do you trust God? Yeah, I think I trust God. Yeah, I think I do. Do you trust him enough to let him do what he thinks is necessary, not what you think is necessary? Because if God feels you need to be on the floor for a minute, do you trust him? If God doesn't feel you need to be on the floor, do you trust him? If the Holy Spirit comes and you find yourself jumping up and down like a nutcase, do you trust him? The Holy Spirit comes upon you and you can't move because of the presence of God. Do you trust him? You see, one of the things I've discovered, because I've had a long chat with God about this, and what God told me was, if he needs to get my attention, he'll put me on the floor. I don't need to fall over or not fall over. Those issues are not issues. God says, if I need you to be on the floor, I'll do it. But I just don't need you to right now. And I say, thank you very much. And you think you've got away with it, don't you? You think, that's nice. And then God suddenly turns up and says, by the way, can you go and just prophesy over that person? And you go, I haven't fallen on the floor yet. And he says, no, we're bypassing that. You're going straight for the hard stuff. And you go, thanks. And you're sitting, as happened to me, when I really met with God, I was sitting in a hotel lobby at midnight eating cheesy chips. That's a good thing to do at midnight, isn't it? Those are the days. I remember when I used to eat food. got to go and tell this guy. And it was very, very personal, very private, and the sort of thing you can get hit for saying to people. And he was enormous. Massive American guy, about 6'4", built like a tank. So God and I had a little argument. Any of you ever do that? And I say, I know best, God. And God says, I know best. And he always wins, but you try, don't you? So in the end I go up and I say this stuff to this guy, but I'm thanking God because he's on the phone. So I'm thinking, he can't react because he's on the phone. I can say what God wants and run away. Anyone done that? No. I'll take falling on the floor, actually. And then he grabbed my arm. Now I'm scared. I'm dead. And he says, this is my wife. Tell her what you just said. Yeah. Well, that's all right, isn't it? But you see, when you're in the Holy Spirit, he starts to do more. I'm thinking, if I can get away with saying this to the wife and run away, I'll be all right. And God says, by the way, tell her the reason she's not here is because she's injured her back and I'm going to heal her tonight. I think I'd rather fall over, if you like, God. Can I do a little bit of falling on the floor? Don't mind that. Have a little sleep while I'm there. So I said to this woman, never met her. By the way, you're not here because you've got a bad back. Yeah, God's going to heal you tonight. And I gave the guy to the phone to the guy, and I ran. I didn't even finish my chips. I thought, well, he's putting the phone down, I can get a good head start here. Brilliant. A year later, I'm at the conference, and I'm just minding my own business. And I suddenly found myself being lifted off the ground. And everyone goes, oh, is it spiritual? No, it was a big American guy. And he said, you don't remember me, do you? And I went, no. And he carried me like a baby over to this woman. Oh, I didn't know I could do that. Oh, I didn't work that time. And he said to the woman, this is him. Am I? And she said, you don't remember, do you? I said, no, I don't remember. She said, last year you spoke to me on the phone. And I'm going, oh, hell. That was my reaction. And she said, I'd broken two of the discs in my back. I was waiting for surgery. When I got up the next morning, I was totally healed. Anyone got scared a bit there? So, God, you know, falling on the floor is a nice easy bit. I'll have a bit of that. Laying in his presence, oh yes, Lord, come. It's not what we want. It's what he wants that matters. And sometimes God needs just to give us such a hug and just hold us so tight and so close, it overwhelms us. And sometimes God needs to get our attention to talk to us, to give us some truth. Don't get hung up about the phenomena. Get obsessed with the Holy Spirit, because he wants to do stuff like you have never seen. And as churches, we get frightened because he doesn't do what we want. Have you noticed the Holy Spirit breaks into meetings at the most inopportune moment? Anyone notice that? Have you heard about this thing going on in America at the university? 6-7 days non-stop worship, that God just keeps coming and coming. Anyone heard of that? How many are excited by that? How many are ready for it to come here? Oh, hang on, the hands all went down then. Because the Holy Spirit's taking over. This is a new year, a new day. God is doing a new thing. The whole landscape of our culture and our nation is being changed. There are things happening. Churches that we have looked on with honor are being shut down. Churches that we laughed at are being exploded as God comes upon them. Because it's a new day. And it's a new thing happening. And God has been saying to us, we've had a year, maybe a bit more for some of us, where God's been preparing us. Anyone notice that? And now God is starting to say, I want to start pouring out stuff onto you. Oh, really? Yeah. Because this is now the time. I don't want to rejoice at what's going on in America. How about rejoice at what's going on at Shore and Free Church? Can you imagine if in the newspapers it says, Forget America. See what's happening at this little church in Shoreham. Some of you are looking at me in absolute terror now because you're thinking, I've got to be home by 1 o'clock for me dinner. Jesus, you see, the disciples had already seen phenomena. They'd seen miracles. They performed miracles. They cast out demons. They even raised the dead. They had seen and experienced all of the phenomena of the Holy Spirit. That's good, isn't it? And so Jesus says, now then, I want you to wait. Because something more is going to happen. What do you mean something more? What is there more than casting out demons and raising the dead? Jesus said, I am going to absolutely bladder you. I'm going to so saturate you in his presence, in his Holy Spirit. He said, are you ready? Yeah? Wait until I tell you. So you seen that video? When the fire went, the guy said, now we can go. And the Holy Spirit is looking for people like you and me, and he's saying, can I now touch you with fire, touch you with the wind? Can I now pour out upon you? Yes? I'm not getting many nods here today. I'm getting a lot of frowns. I'm getting quite a few. This is the most exciting thing you could ever have happen. You imagine, Sue walks home. I mean, I admire the fact she walks. But imagine she's so full of the Holy Spirit, she's walking down the road, and she looks around and half a dozen people have fallen over behind her. Wasn't me. Wasn't me. And God says, now go back and prophesy. Boomf. And all of you that got your cars say, well, that's alright, I'll be in my car. And you get in a traffic jam. And suddenly you realise all around you, drivers are slumped over the wheel because you're carrying the presence. And you're going, oh Lord, what am I going to do now? Or how about you go home and just see your neighbour? And the neighbour says, why is your face shining like that? And you say, I touched the presence. Or you go home to your husband or your wife that doesn't believe, or doesn't believe like you do. And they say, something changed in you, what's happened? And you say, the Holy Spirit's come. See, are we hungry for more? Or have we had enough? Let me tell you, I know all about hunger. As I told you 2 weeks ago, I know about hunger. You know what it's like when you eat a meal and it's never enough? Anyone ever know that? You finish the meal, and as you're finishing your last forkful, you think, And your belly's saying, feed me. And the fridge is saying, I'm full, come. And the biscuits are saying, here I am. And then we come to God and we say, just a little bit, thanks God. God says, it's time you got filled, flooded, saturated. Because I don't know about you, but when I see people dying without Jesus, when I see teenagers who have so little hope they're stabbing other teenagers, when I see boys of, what is it, 6, 7 years old, shooting teachers. I don't know about you, but we need to do something. I can't change the world, but I can change my street. I can't heal everybody, but perhaps I can heal my neighbour. Because if we start, who knows where it stops? 12 disciples, dickheads, 12 disciples, and yet here we are 2,000 years later, because those men received the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they went. We're 23, we're nearly double. If we include the two boys, we're more than double. If 12 men can change the world, what could we do? four things very quickly, because time's nearly gone. I want you to notice these four things. These are the way you're going to have to start living. Number one, they were together in one place at one time. Do not neglect to meet together, the Bible says. We can't make it on our own. We like to think we can. I don't need to go to church, I'm alright. I'm strong. I can cope. Until something happens. My dad was old fashioned. And if the youth club used to come to our house every night, whether we do homework or not, and the doors were always open, so Lobe would come in the front door and they go, hi, hi, and eventually they go out the back door and people come in the back. And there was always a crowd of kids in our house. Didn't know who half of them were sometimes. But if there were girls that had cycled, I had to take them home. I had to cycle them home. Well, that was all right. One night, got rather late, and cycled the girls home. And two of them lived at the two extremes of the village. So you had to go all the way to one, all the way to the other. Just start coming back. That's all right, isn't it? All the lights went out. All the street lights. And it was suddenly pitch black. And it had to be the day I didn't have the lights on my bike. Now that got a bit freaky. I'm on my own. There's nobody here. If I have an accident, nobody will know. Nobody will see me. If I fall off my bike, somebody might run over me. After all, we have a car every 3 hours, so it's quite a risk. And one of my mates came out and said, I'll come with you. David sat in his cave in Adullam, and he said, God, I've had enough. Let me die. Anyone feel like that? I've had enough. I've battled. I've pushed. I've tried everything. And God says, don't worry. I'm going to send you an army. How many of you would like to have an army? And he says, here they are. And David says, what do you mean? He says, this lot. And God, and he says, what? And the Bible says they were the debtors, the dispirited, the downhearted. That's a hell of an army, isn't it? Boy, they're good. They became David's personal bodyguard. They became the most feared warriors in all of that era. Some of us are like that. Debting, disinherited, doubters, depressed. And God says, you're the people I need for the army. But you've got to get together. You've got to spend time together. You've got to care for one another. We've got to know that when something happens, there's people around to give me some support. And that doesn't happen. Let me tell you, a little hint here. It doesn't happen by me sitting over here and saying, it's up to you lot to come to me. Because if John decides to do that in the other corner, we ain't going to have much of a conversation, are we? Well, I'm here if you care. And he says, well, I'm here if you care. And Chris King's sitting in the quiet room saying, well, I'm here if you care. It doesn't mean that. They were together in one room. They were in a room smaller than that. Everybody was there. And they knew everything about each other, and they supported one another, and they learned to do things the different way. Because the way the world reacts is, I'm hurt, I'll go and hide. The way the church reacts is, I'm hurt, I'm going to come and find my people. They were together. One army. And the devil loves to separate us. They didn't care about you. Look at you, you're on your own. No, I'm going to go find my people. The devil says, go, stay on your own. See if they love you. See if they come to you. No, you go to them. That's the difference. That's Holy Spirit living. They were all together in one place. Spiritually, emotionally, they were together. Carrying one another, caring for one another, because they had the courage to come together and say, actually, I'm hurting. Would you pray with me? Would you stand with me? Second thing, are you still with me? Well done. Second thing, all were filled. Anybody here feel they're not good enough? Anybody here feel they're not as good a Christian as someone else? Anybody feel, well, not for me, yet? Is that, anyone got that one? Because I can have all three if you like. But every single person was filled. The thick-headed fisherman who denies Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Thomas, that doubted if he'd even been raised from the dead, filled with the Spirit. The prostitute, filled with the Spirit. Young and old, fat and thin, ugly and pretty, all filled with the Spirit. Where are you in that group? Ah, I'm actually worse than any of them, so I can't be filled. Every single one was filled. Exciting! It doesn't mean I'm not good enough. It means you're right. None of us are good enough. There's only one person good enough. And that was Jesus. Everybody else was a failure. And by the way, we blame Peter for denying Jesus. You notice the other disciples just ran away. Every one of them wasn't good enough. But every single one was filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Is that good? Turn to the person nearest you and say, even you. Go on, turn to someone and say, even you can be filled with the Spirit. That's better. This is the exciting bit. The only limit to how much of God we get is how much we want. I used to like going to those restaurants. Eat as much as you like. 15 quid. Anyone else like those? Boy, I'm going to get my money's worth out of this. You know? I'm going to, as I said to you a couple of weeks ago, Ken and I went to one in Canada. And the bar probably was here to the back wall. And we set ourselves a target of eating one of everything in this buffet. And we got right to the end and he had his last two bits of chicken and he said, I can't do it. But I want more. You see, we're starting to have major conversations with people that come on Fridays. And people that come into the warm hub. We need the Holy Spirit so we can bring them to Jesus. We need to have the Word of God. We need to have the power of God. We need to have the life transforming impact. So when a lame man is here, sitting in his wheelchair, we say, we haven't got any money to give you. But we'll give you what we've got. Get up and walk. Every single person received the same. And then it comes to the problem. You see, because once the Holy Spirit came, they were out of control. Men that were hiding are now running into the street, shouting, declaring God. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, He only comes to take over. Do you remember when Joshua was waiting to go into Jericho and the angel of the Lord appeared and he said, are you for us or against us? I'm here to take over. And what does Joshua do next? Anyone? Falls on his face. God's come. God's going to do stuff that you're never going to believe. You're going to run out in the streets. Can you imagine? See, I've got a very silly imagination. And I like imagining the weirdest things. You imagine Maggie goes down to the co-op. I say, Maggie, can you get some more milk? Yeah, sure. She goes down to the co-op. No. Gets the milk, goes to the till. And the lady says, how are you today? And she goes, la, ba, she, la, ba. And Maggie, what's the matter with you? And the lady says, hey, you want to see this Maggie? She's gone doolally. Have you been drinking, Maggie? No. Can you imagine that, Maggie? Or you go to your favourite craft group. What was it Sally was saying? You go to a history group on Thursday morning. Can you imagine? She walks in and they're all sitting there having coffee. Sally, would you like a coffee? What's the matter with you? Hey. I'm exaggerating for the sake of emphasis. When the Holy Spirit comes, He takes over. And to allow the Holy Spirit to come, I have to make a major decision. I have to say, here's my life. Because I keep messing it up. I messed it up with sin, and you bought me with your blood, and you washed me free of sin, but I still keep messing my life up. And so, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to take over my life. I give you permission to do whatever you think is appropriate. Is that a big one to pray? Massive. Because then God comes. Oh, got to go. See, there's a group of youngsters in Australia once, and they went to a church meeting and loads of stuff happened. And afterwards they said, we want to be used by God, and they were prayed for, and they went down to McDonald's. Don't keep tempting me. And as they walked into McDonald's, they all fell over under the power of the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to fall over here, it's another thing to fall over in McDonald's. And there's a whole group of them on the floor laying there in the power of the Spirit. And the next thing is a group of Hell's Angels came up. And they thought it was a rave. So they went into McDonald's as well. And so McDonald's got frightened, thinking this was going to be some sort of mass fight. So they called the police, who also turned up. And the leader of this group of young people managed to sort of lean himself up, and he's hanging on the edge of the bar, and he says, this is God. And the leader of the Hell's Angels said, I've broken my back. They told me if I fall off my bike again, I will probably be paralyzed. So they prayed for him, and he was totally and instantly healed. Now, I don't know all the minute details, but I know that them falling over caused that Hell's Angel to come into that building, which caused the power of God to heal him and for him to find Jesus as Saviour. Now, I can live with that. Anyone? I'm out of control. The last thing. Is the first thing we're going to do. Because what I find is when the Holy Spirit comes, what's the first thing that happens? Is they said, we heard them worshipping God, praising God in our different languages. The first thing they heard wasn't sermons or preaching or healings or prophecies. The first thing that happened was they were speaking worship to God. We've talked a lot recently, haven't we, about coming into the intimate place of worship and so on. Because the more we worship, the more the Spirit comes. The more the Spirit comes, the more we will worship. Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer isn't a prayer, it's a mandate. It's, if you like, headings for how we pray. But the first thing he taught them was worship. Father in heaven, hallowed, worshipped is your name. Before you pray anything, worship. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, He will take us first of all into a more intimate worship. And it's out of that worship, out of that intimate time with God, that we begin to carry something which we give away. We sung that song recently, being out of our depth in His love. That's scary, isn't it? I don't like being out of my depth, do you? I once went swimming in the lake in Geneva. And we jumped in, and we're swimming around, and it was fine, off the boat. And my father-in-law said to me, by the way, you know that it's 300 metres deep here, don't you? And suddenly, and it suddenly made a moment of, why it made a difference, I've got no idea. Because I was quite happy swimming around the boat. But suddenly knowing that I could not get to the bottom. And it made you a little bit nervous. Does that make sense? Being out of my depth in God and saying, you take over, is a real scary place. But that's what God's calling us to. As a church, He wants us to start to say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm scared, I'm excited, I'm frightened, but I need more of you. So I watch the news, I listen to things on the radio, and I don't know about you, but my heart breaks at times. My heart grieves. I thought of it yesterday. They found a footballer had died in the Turkish earthquake. And they're making tributes to him and this, that and the other. And you think, I understand that. But what about the other 25,000 people you haven't worried about? Yes, that man is famous. But all of those other people were just as valuable. All those kids that are being abused and tortured are just as valuable to God. People that come to food bank, desperate situations, just as valuable to God. And I'm becoming more and more obsessed. We've got to have more of your Spirit, Lord. Because I need to have something to give to these people. I don't want them just to come and have food. I don't want them just to come and have a brilliant time in here. Holy Spirit, I need you to take over because I want to see them saved, healed, set free. Because one day, Lord, I'm going to stand before you in heaven and I want to be able to say, these are the friends I brought with me. I don't want to stand before God and He says, what about the people I asked you to look after? So we pray, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come and take over. God has something more for you this morning. Will you put down your fear? Will you put down your failure? Will you put down the terror? Will you put down your traditions and your past? And will you be prepared to stand up and say, this morning, I want more of your Holy Spirit than I've ever had before. We're going to spend a bit of time just worshipping God. If during the worship time you feel what I've said, you want to make a symbolic act, then as we worship, come and stand or sit at the front or kneel at the front and let someone pray with you. Because as I read through Acts of the Apostles, every time the disciples did something, they had hands laid on them. Impartation ministry. So I'm going to be standing at the front because, not because my job is to stand at the front, but because I'm standing here saying, I want more Holy Spirit. I want to be out of my depth. If you want to join me as we worship, up to you. If you don't, that's fine as well. But as for me, my house, we're going to seek God. So we're going to sing a hymn. And then we're going to just play some songs and just worship. The hymn we sang it a couple of weeks ago, you don't have to sing it, just pray it. It says, search me, O God. And know my heart today. Not know the facade that I put up for other people. And if as I've been speaking, you say, yeah, but I'm hurting and I'm this. It's time to start dealing with it. It's time to start breaking curses that have been spoken over us. It's time to stop listening to lies that have been spoken. It's time to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am a joint heir with Christ. I can receive the fullness of what He has for me. Amen? Let's stand together. We'll sing this hymn and then we're going to worship. And you, if you want to come out and stand with me, fine. If you don't, that's fine. It's not a pressure. It's up to you. It's between you and God. I want to worship God. Let's stand. Thank you, Graham.
your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory. There is no one else who satisfies, and my soul. Your glory, for
Holy Spirit, keep flowing through her right now. Holy Spirit, come on. Holy Spirit, flow. Holy Spirit, flow. There's people here this morning and words have been spoken over you. Lies, even curses. And the Holy Spirit wants to break those this morning. He wants to break the lies. People out here are doing business with God as we worship. And as we continue to worship, again, I challenge you. Let's do some business with God this morning. Thanks, Glenn. Shalabaki yalakishi.
Holy Spirit, rain. Oh, come, come, come and pray.
happening? Got up the stuff, mascara is running. But we're not going to stop, we're going to carry on seeking God. We're going to sing one more song. And then we're going to just let people carry on receiving. If you want to call this our closing song, you can do. But we're going to just keep receiving the Holy Spirit here. If after this song you feel you need to get a cup of tea or something, go ahead. If you still want to be prayed for, please come and do so, because we don't want anyone to miss out on what God is doing this morning. Thank you, Graham.
Lamb of God, by your precious spirit, you've come to destroy oppression and depression that comes against the mind of the believer. You've come to bring joy where there's been sorrow. You've come in your peace and your love and in your acceptance. And you're here, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
King.